He keeps himself in trim by bending bars of iron. This bar is the genuine article which we tested before he began to play with it.
Beyond the bend. Beyond the bend.
All right. Welcome back to Beyond the Bend. It's been a while since I put something out. It's just been so busy. Just life picked back up, and it's busy in a good way. So there was a couple of times people mentioned me doing a solo podcast. So we're going to try that out tonight. We'll see how many times I have to stop this and delete it, start over. But I thought it would be cool to start it out with some of the videos people sent in for to honor Bud Jeffries. So I'm going to share my screen and start out with a couple of those. Just bear with me for 1 second here. All right. So first up, we have Mike Rogowski, former guest, super strong dude, just killed it in Don's competition. So here we have Mike's video.
Hey, everybody at Beyond the Bend podcast. I'm Michael Rogowski, home gym hero. And when Cody sent out the word that he wanted to have some people make some videos talking about Bud Jeffries and what he meant to them, I knew I had to say something. I didn't know Bud personally, but he definitely was a fixture in the strongman community going back to when I first got into it, when I was around 16 years old. I'm 35 today. I came across, you know, some of his materials. I think his twisted conditioning books. And Bud was always just, you know, larger than life. He's, you know, doing crazy things, seeing him on social media all the time, posting his next crazy feat. You know, he was very reliable every week, every other few days. You'd see that. You think like, oh, what's Bud up to next? And now that's gone. And that's really sad. But one of the things that I wanted to share was just how in awe I was of somebody who had such a combination of strength, but not only strength, but strength and strength endurance. And it really blew my mind with the stuff that he did, what was possible. I remember years ago looking on his personal record page, and what stuck out to me, there was all sorts of crazy stuff. But the two things that stuck out to me the most were his half mile yoke walk with 500 pounds. And he did a quarter mile yoke walk with 750 pounds. That to me is just unfathomable. And it goes to show just what is really possible if you put your mind to it. That would be like me trying to do half mile with 300 pounds. Well, I've done 300 pounds on a yoke. It would be kill me to practically do 100 yards. So to work up to something like that, it's just beyond imagination. But he had the imagination to do that. And I think that's probably his legacy in Strongman to create that imagination in our minds as to what could be possible if you actually thought to work towards it and not compromise on what other people thought was possible, but what you want to pursue. So that's something that sticks with me, and I hope that's something that you remember with Bud as well.
Awesome. Thanks, Mike, and congrats on the epic performance at Don's competition. I look forward to, hopefully we can do another podcast one day. I know it's all on my part. I got to just schedule some more of these. So good words. Thanks, man. Up next, we have Jan Horido Heller. Where do we get? There he is. Wait. Now I'm going to have to find that one. Actually, we're going to go Don next. All right, Don.
Hey, everyone. Don Cummings here in Michigan. I was completely gutted when I heard the news about Bud. He's been such an inspiration for me since I've been on this strongman journey. I really consider him to be a genius, both mentally and physically, for anything related to strength. He came up with such great training ideas and just off the wall crazy stuff that could really just build you from the ground up into a beast. And more importantly, he was a really good guy. I hung out with Bud just about a year ago today. He came through Michigan and I got a message from him. He was moving a family member who lived in Michigan down to Florida. So he drove all the way up from Florida to Michigan, was picking them up and then driving back down to Florida. It was a cold day in the 20s in the middle of COVID. And so businesses weren't open for, you know, sit down dining or anything here in Michigan. And where he was driving through wasn't close to my house. I kind of drove down to the middle of Detroit to meet him. We went to a coffee shop, got our coffees, had to get him to go with COVID, and then went outside and him and I sit out there in the 20 degree weather and just drank our coffees and talked for about an hour, you know, BSing, talking shop, talking about Ben and Steel, talking about Lipton Whites, talking about our families, talking about life. He was such a good guy. And I feel really sad that he's gone right now. I went back and I looked at his last post on Instagram. And for one, it was an amazing feat. It was him carrying a refrigerator overhead with one arm and walking with it. Just a crazy off the wall, amazing feat of strength. But what really struck me in this last post he made was the last sentence of the post. It said, "Be amazing, Mother Trucker." And that just sums up Bud to me. He was always inspiring other people and wanting other people to do amazing things. And, you know, we were all better off for having known Bud and reading his post and seeing what he did. And he will be missed greatly.
Perfectly said, Don. Thanks. And the competition looked awesome. I hope I can make it out there next year. Just gotta track down Jan's video real quick. Anyway, while I have you, if you're not ordering from Jarrito, I don't even know what to say anymore. It's obviously the best cert out there. You got every style. Just hit them up, order. Use the promo code CHEERS to save a little bit on the order. But really, that's just what you want to be. I mean, the double overhand cert is what everyone starts with, but I can't just stress enough how important the other styles are. Just get this to open, then we'll hear from Jan. All right, here we go. And shipping seems to be pretty quick right now.
Hey, Bud, just want to say thank you for all your inspirational content over the last years, especially your outlifting and your very heavy rows always amazed me. So this band is for you.
Of course, some buffering. All right, bear with me.
She's from Germany. Show you.
All right, let's go.
Always in strength, brother. Keep going.
Jan made like a little emblem, like a brass emblem with Bud RIP in it. It was very cool. All right, that's all we have for now for the tribute videos to Bud, but please keep sending them in and I'll just post them when I can. I'm sure it means a lot to everybody. I mean, he was such an inspiration to everybody. It's super sad that he's gone. And like Mike said, it's it was just something you sort of counted on, seeing his posts each week, and it was always inspiring. It's just like strength in so many ways. It was just like he was really like that constant reminder to just like think outside of the box. So when I started this podcast, it was like the beginning of the first part of the pandemic where we were really locked down. And, you know, I've said so much on this show before. It's like so many of you know bits and pieces of the story, but like, you know, I was heavily into jujitsu teaching and coaching jujitsu, you know, sometimes like 7 days a week. And I remember I used to think, like, what if I blow my ACL out or something? What am I going to do then? Because, you know, as many of you know, steel bending is very similar to it, weightlifting, whatever the passion is. And that's something else this podcast has taught me, is like, you can relate to somebody just on like a level of intensity and passion. It doesn't need to be strength related. It's like, if something is the first thing you think about going when you wake up and the last thing you think about going to bed, like there's common ground there, even if it's like comic books or dancing or God knows what. It's like just that level of like singular focus. So anyway, I would think about like, what if I lost jujitsu? What would I do? And I used to just not really have an answer. I kind of had to come up with an answer. I had lost a bunch of weight, gotten into pretty good shape to make make weight for a competition in early purple belt. And after that, I'd always been interested in weightlifting, but I never took it too seriously. Like my dad did some stuff here or there, you know, off and on in my life, but it was really just like push-ups, bench press and like military press or something. It's maybe some sit-ups, nothing. Like I never seen anyone do a squat or a deadlift probably till like 2017. In real life, that is. And that was my friend and training partner and barber, Dave Kobinski, who's a very strong dude and has been probably next to Dave Nisbet, like been one of the guys that has helped me the most and always pestering him with questions, strength related. So anyway, I had started lifting a little bit because I had gotten pretty lean and I wanted to pack on some muscle. So that was probably like 2018, but it was nothing crazy. You know, it was just like a couple of days a week, just linear, whatever. Still the focus was jujitsu. And when the pandemic hit, it was like, boom, I can't do this thing I love anymore. So I knew I was going to like get bigger just because I wasn't burning calories, like, you know, rolling 6 days a week or whatever. So I was like, all right, now is the perfect time to start lifting weights. And I listened to the Grappling Central podcast. If you're a jiu-jitsu guy and you don't listen to that, you definitely should. That was one of the main inspirations for this podcast. Ryan does a great job. It's actually called the BJJ Fanatics podcast now, I believe. But Ryan kills it with that show. Basically, any jiu-jitsu guy you ever want to hear from has been on that. But he had this guy, Scott Shetler, on, who I eventually had on my podcast too. And Scott was a dude that came from punk rock and hardcore and skateboarding and all the stuff that I'm into and grew up being into well before I found jujitsu. And Scott was also a jujitsu guy, and he's also a strength trainer down in Atlanta, outside Atlanta. So I was like, all right, I'm going to just hit this guy up, see if he can write me out a program. We have enough common ground, and we hit it off right away. And I told him I only want to get stronger to for when I got back to jujitsu, which at that time I thought was going to be like 2 months or less, maybe. I just wanted to come back stronger. So the first and I wanted to bench more or something. And so the first program he wrote me out was great. It was just so great. And it was just like sort of, you know, like a typical, like he's West Side affiliated. So you had like a bench day, squat day, deadlift day and overhead day with some accessories and stuff. But he focused in some neck work, neck bridging and stuff like that. Cause again, the focus was just like, I want to be stronger for when I return to jujitsu. But, the other thing is he programmed some plate pinching for me. Right. So then it was like, okay, boom. Like I'm going to start researching grip training. And I just got obsessed with the idea of like having the strongest grip, like for when I return jujitsu. And so plate pinching and then like towel pull-ups, all this stuff. I just started researching everything. And the whole time I'd been a huge fan of Dan Strauss, the Raspberry Ape, because he was just like the dude that was like doing cool strength stuff and was also high level jujitsu guy. And there's something like just appealing, like guys have said many times on the show, is like the old time feats for someone that doesn't really participate in strength training, there's something like really impressive with those or something. So the nail bending that Dan did and the card tearing, all that stuff, that was really, and like different kinds of pull-ups, that was always really caught my eye. So it was like between what Scott programmed and like being a fan of Dan Strauss, who also I was able to have on the show, that just sent me off and running, right? And so, and then from the grip training, I think I found out about John Brookfield, and simultaneously I'm like just searching stuff on Instagram for steel bending. And Don was one of the earlier guys I found, Jaden Majenski, Devin Hoover, which absurdly changed his name anyway on Instagram, that is. But these guys were using, you know, hashtags in their posts, so I could find them easily. And you know, everybody was locked down, so I could speak to them regularly and ask questions and stuff. And Jaden, I think, sent me like Tommy Jennings rapping video. And so this is all of like how it's taking shape. As I've said, like I've said this all before, but kind of just piece it together in a linear progression today. So I was really getting into it. I got my box of nails from Iron Mind, RIP, and just was going at it. It was really like the only thing I wanted to think of. So at this time, the strength training and the grip work sort of took a back seat, because it's just like you had this trophy of the bent steel, and it was like all I could think about, just like red nail fever. So I wanted to absorb in more information about it. I was listening to This Week in Grip with Jed and Alan Hynek, and they had Don on, they had Tommy Jennings on, they had some other guys on, and shout out Jed, also a former guest on the show. This was cool. As I sit here and reflect, it's like I was able to sit down and talk to so many of these guys that were inspirations, and like to just like the right away is pretty cool how it all worked out. So I'm searching for steel bending podcasts. One doesn't exist. So I just decided I had wanted to start a podcast anyway, but the stuff that I was into, jujitsu, skateboarding, music, there's all like 10,000 podcasts for these things. So I didn't really, in my eyes, make any sense to just add another podcast to the mix. So I just decided, even though I was new at steel bending, I would just start the first solely based steel bending podcast. And Jaden told me to get in touch with Derek Graybill, who was my first guest. And the crazy thing about when I saw Derek's page is like, I really thought Red Nail was like the top of the heap, like for bending. And here's Derek, like back to bending, and he's just bending the biggest stuff, like well over Red Nail size. And it was just blowing my mind. And then we were off and running with the podcast. But yeah, I guess that's the long version of it. And then it was just this weekly thing. I knew I other podcast hosts had told me never to miss a week. So I really did my best for the first year or whatever, 50 episodes or whatever it was, to just not miss a week. So it was just like booking gas, boom, boom, boom. But it was something so nice to just depend on during that first part of the pandemic. And it also helped my progression in bending, because it was just the only thing I thought about. It was like jujitsu was clear that wasn't coming back anytime soon. And it was just like, it was just the only thing that I wanted to get better at. And it was just satisfying that itch of jujitsu, you know. And to this day, it's still, I think, max effort bends are probably the most physically taxing thing I may have ever done. I'm not sure, but it's way up there. And yeah, so did the 50 episodes, and then life started to pick back up and stuff. But it was such a cool experience. And I just met so many interesting people that like really changed my whole perception on strength and training and everything. It's just really cool, especially as I think back about it right now. So I'm gonna go through my original outline here. When I first wrote this, just see how much of this I've already answered probably 100 times on the show. Where are you from? How did you get into bending? I basically already did all that. And I live in the Hudson Valley, New York, about 2 hours north of the city on the Hudson River, basically. What do you do for a living? What kind of athletic background do you have? All right. Well, I grew up working on a horse farm. A lot of guys also had that like background of hard manual labor or whatever. And I worked as a machinist for many years. And I also worked as a commercial diver. So some physical stuff there. But a lot has changed and I have kids and stuff. So I was lucky enough to have a little bit mellower job. And I work as an administrator for a psychotherapy practice that's owned by a friend of mine from jiu-jitsu. So cool connection there. And it's funny because at least I still have calluses on my hands from lifting weights and bending steel. So I mostly sit in a chair and do work on the computer these days. And my athletic background is, I don't know, I guess, I'm sure I mentioned this on the show, but I was heavily into sports, some out by my own desire and other just because I think like, that's just my parents just said, like, go play this or whatever in the beginning years. And I probably got into skateboarding when I was about 11 or 12. And that was just my first true passion. Like I mentioned at the top of the show, like wake up thinking about it, go to sleep thinking about it, spend all day doing it. And it's still something I love. And I basically credit everything I've ever been into somehow could be traced back to the way skateboarding changed my life. And so anyway, by the second year or first year of high school, skating was the priority and going to hardcore shows and playing in bands. And I quit playing baseball and soccer, which I regret now for sure. I wish I would have continued on playing those sports, but that's nothing you can do about it. So, and then spent a few years not really skating, not really doing anything. And in my early 20s, I started to experiment with different martial arts, tried out a bunch of them, realized a bunch of them don't really work that well. And then I found jiu-jitsu and was like, oh yeah, this is what's up. And fell in love 100%. In the beginning, I thought I wanted to do like MMA and stuff, but I just fell in love so much with jiu-jitsu that quickly I stopped kickboxing and that stuff and just focus on jiu-jitsu. I think there's like two different kinds of people that like to punch and then people that like to grab. And I'm definitely someone that likes to grab. So like the wrestling, jiu-jitsu, all the grappling martial arts are essentially the same. And they're all super fun and something I still love. And so I've practiced jiu-jitsu since I was 22, off and on. Sometimes life gets in the way of stuff. All right. It says, what motivates you? The binary nature of win or lose, bend or not. Yeah. I mean, that's it right there. I've said it many times on the show. It's like in a life full of gray area and bullshit and nuance, it's, if you're a halfway intellectual person, it's nice to have things that are 100% cut and dry. Did I lift the weight up and lock it out or no? You know, there's like beauty in that. Did I bend it to 2 inches or less or no? You know, it's like things that are brutal and simple. That's like character building. It's like, did I get tapped or no? Did he decide to surrender and tap? Yes. Cool. Move on with life. You know what I mean? It's like, and I can't remember if I shared this on the show or not, but it's like the thing with jiu-jitsu is like, in my mind is I never even gotten that many fights as a kid or anything like that. But in the back of my caveman mind, anything, and it's just my own like insecurity and ego, but anything that someone outdid me at, right? In the back of my mind, just like a little whisper would be like, well, I could probably beat them in a fight. And this before I knew jack shit about anything. And it's like, so I think a lot of us have that just like barbarian like gene or whatever, that's like everything dumbs down to physical combat, right? And the nice thing about jiu-jitsu is you're engaging in physical combat. So it's like if someone taps you and you choose to surrender and tap, there's no way to spin that or justify that or anything unless you're super full of shit, which I hope I don't fall into that category. But it's pure. It's just like, you lost. Get over it. You know what I mean? And then it's like, so it's like all those things that the binary nature, as I mentioned right there, it's something really attractive about that, because as you get older or whatever, you realize less and less is can be segmented into those rigid categories like that. So it's nice to have some practices that are. What are some bends and feats of strength that you're most proud of? Let's see. Well, one that comes to mind is super brutal. I don't even know if I'm that proud of it, but it was just like somewhere in the midst of like my developing the short spike leg crush style. I did a 6-inch bastard tape to a grade 8, a 6-inch quarter inch grade 8. It took me like 45 minutes or something to complete it. I'm just like sweating and like my hands were so numb after it. That was just like one of the most brutal ones. I don't know. I mean, it's like, it's hard to say about ones I'm proud of. I like that I did. I was one of the few people so far to do the 315 Zercher / 60 D nail bend for Bud, for David Horn's grip feet page. That one felt cool. Let's see. Other ones. Some of the snapping felt real good. Competing in the King's Shield and doing okay in that was really good. That's a every other year competition for David Horn that involves all styles of bending. That's very, very tough. That was brutal and cool. I don't really know. Specifics on training, days per week, how many bends. All right, so right now I train basically 4 days a week strength. So Monday squat, Tuesday bench, Thursday is deadlift usually, and then Friday I'd repeat the bench day most likely, and maybe add a second squat day in. I'm not really messing with overhead right now, except as like maybe an accessory to the bench day. And the bending is, as I've focused more on just weightlifting, which was first strongman, and then most recently more powerlifting based, was if I feel really strong and it's been 2 or 3 weeks since I've done a bend, I do a couple bends. Other than that, it just takes too much out of me and it messes with my progression of the regular lifts, the three main lifts that I'm chasing right now. The main goal, and it's been a work in progress recently, is just reversing a grade 8 in David Horn pads. I've gotten it to about 30 degrees a couple times, so it just hasn't gone yet, but it's been a few weeks since I've tried that, or probably closer to a month. So after I test my PRs coming up this Monday, I have some plans for some bends. I was never that big into volume, even when I was doing a lot of bending. It was always just a couple warm-up bends and then onto whatever feat I wanted to do that day. The biggest error I made, and this was had to do with not being able to do jiu-jitsu at that time, was just doing too much. Like if I failed the Harito 12.9 cut down braced on Monday, Tuesday I was trying it again, and it's just like, because I wanted to feel happy and psyched about something, it was just like bleak time, and it was just beating the hell out of my CNS, and so I don't recommend that. I think the stronger you get and the more taxing the bends are, the more you got to space them out, and it's going to be better for it. All right. What do you do for recovery and nutrition? Nutrition, I follow vertical diet more or less, depending on the week, is you know, it depends on how strict I am, to be honest. It's summer now, or getting close to it, and when it's warmer, it's harder for me to eat as much as I should, I guess. And I also definitely like eat some ice cream. So the diet's always like a work in progress. Recovery, besides like taking rest days and some days, just like if I'm not chomping at the bit to go lift or do some type of strength training, sometimes I just won't, because like I love this shit, and if I'm not feeling it, it means that something's off, and I just have built up the discipline to just know that like if my body's saying don't do it, I don't need to go all Jocko and push through it. Farm strength / functional strength in relationship to bending. That's an interesting question, and I don't know anymore. I feel like my thoughts on this have changed over time. I mean, it's cool to be functionally strong, whatever that means. And, but I think really just like if we can tack it on to like Bud, right? Bud was strong in every possible way. The dude squat 1,000. You've seen him press absurd amounts overhead. Endurance, like Mike said, we've seen him bend every way. I'd say that's like what to aspire for, you know? It's like you don't want to just be able to like, you know, double overhand, whatever. And I don't know, it's to each their own, but for me, it was like I started with the main lifts and went outside like the world into grip and bending, and strongman was coming back around still. And then like now I just want to like, I have goals in the regular lifts that I want to complete. You know, like for my own, like my own goals and my own fulfillment, you know, it's like, so it's, yeah, it's like personally, it's just about exploring all of these areas of strength. You know, it's like, you don't want to neglect any particular one, and it's, that makes it infinite, you know, that makes it a lifelong quest. And then I'm back to, you know, training jujitsu. I do like 3 days a week right now, and that's going to ramp up this summer as I get back into a competitive setting. What exercises do you recommend for bending strength? What attributes are most important to bending? Exercises I recommend for bending strength. I don't know about specific exercises. I mean, as I've gotten stronger in a general sense, the bending has been easier. I've felt it in horseshoes and reverse bending, especially, which I used to hate. And I used to hate the reverse, but now I love it. And it's not like I did anything special to develop wrist strength. I've just been doing squat, bench, and deadlifts, you know, and some strongman stuff. So, you know, I think more is probably mobility. If double overhand is your thing, is getting that like scapular retraction. That takes a lot of practice and stuff. Mental training, mental aspects of bending. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest takeaway right there. If bending taught me anything, was like that I'm capable of more than I might think at first. And it taught me to really push the limits of my my own body. And it kind of relates to the, you know, the like old strongman type of explanation of, you know, we only use X amount of our body's potential, and the grandma lifting the car off the kid or something. But really it's just about like teaching yourself to push through hard things. And that's been a major takeaway. So it's like now if a goal seems unattainable through my practice of bending, it just seems like a little bit more doable. And that doesn't mean, that's not some mystic thing. That's just because bending taught me how to have a plan and how to really attack something, you know. And mental training, you know, visualization, you know, right now I hope I can deadlift 500 pounds here in a few days. And I've done that in my mind so many freaking times. I can't even tell you. When I'm falling asleep, that's what I'm thinking about, you know? And have I dealt with any injuries from bending? Yeah, double overhand really took it out of my shoulders. I don't really do that style anymore. Whatever error I was making in my form or something really, it popped my shoulder a couple times on the hexabastard. I never completed that. I don't think I ever will that style. But it, it taxed my shoulders a lot. I couldn't overhead press or bench for a bunch of months, and I did some physical therapy, and I just don't really mess with that style unless it's like, you know, a grade 5 or a 60D or something like that. Nothing too crazy. Although if, I don't know, if next year I do Don's competition, I'll certainly be training it. But have I ever competed in grip or bending, or do I plan to? Yeah, I've done a bunch of David Horn's competitions. They're the best ever. Something super fun you can do from home. David is the man, one of the most genuinely cool, just an absolute gentleman that I've met through bending. Super cool, super strong, just like Bud Jeffries, strong in all kinds of freaking ways. And David hosts great competitions, super fun. He's very fair with the rules and very structured, and he puts in a lot of his own time to review everything, and they're super fun. I love them. I'll do those for as long as I can. Another strength area you believe bending strength has helped? I don't know. Tough question. I mean, I think some of the mid-length braced bending must have made my core stronger. That's some of the most brutal bending I think there is. 5/8, you know, between 30 and 20 inches, stuff in there is brutal. The lowest I've gone is like 23.5. And that was a wicked, wicked bend that sort of still like, makes me cringe how hard it was. All right. Made it to the medley with myself. Favorite thing to bend? I don't know. I like snapping grade 8s. They're really fun and fast. It's cool. Hardest thing to bend for you? Drill rod. I don't really mess with that. It's like cold rolled steel is hard enough. I don't think we need to make it any harder. Strongest bending style for you? Certainly, you know, the short braced stuff, unless we're counting snapping, probably better at snapping. Weakest bending style? Probably double overhand. It's because I don't really mess with it because it hurts my shoulders. Used to be reverse, but now I like reverse a lot. Something outside of training bend. Something I like to do outside of bending. I mean, I've talked about all that stuff, but I actually just recently bought a camera, been into taking some pictures of jujitsu and skateboarding and just old barns and stuff, just general photography stuff. I'm still super white belt at it. One bend that's got away. I haven't done the Goliath. I'd like to do that. Like to be one of the lighter, smaller guys to have done that there with Mike Rogowski. After I do these lifts on Monday, I'm probably going to spend some time trying to get that again. I have a bunch of them, bunch cut at my house. Let's see what else. Cut down 12.9 from Harito for short braced. I only did 6.5. I know I can do 6. I haven't tried that in a while. I got to get some of those bolts. I'd like to do 5.5 probably. Shout out to Wigren for just annihilating that cert. Really impressive. Who's the strongest person you know? My friend and boss actually is this guy named Thayer. And he's like the sweetest dude ever. I mean, he's a therapist, you know, and he's a jujitsu blue belt, should be purple belt, absolute animal, played football and wrestled in college, and physically probably the most like brutal person I've ever rolled with in my life. And I roll with him twice a week or more. And he used to lift in college, and I can only imagine he was a savage. But other guys, as I mentioned, my barber, you know, it's like 190. He's deadlifts 635 or something like that. Really good power lifter. My friend through bending, Caveman Dave Man, obviously lifting the most absurd stones and stuff. I've been lucky enough to meet a lot of very, very strong people through this podcast. Let's see. Best piece of advice you were ever given. That's a hard one. Can't think of too much of actual advice I've been given. My dad usually tells me not to burn the candle at both ends because I'm always just doing so much stuff. He just worries about me not getting enough rest. But I'll tell you how about the best advice I've ever given, which I give to my son a lot. And it's been somewhat of a theme of the show, is like, when you're doing challenging shit, don't forget why you're doing it, right? It's like the only reason you want to do something that's hard is because it's cool. So in the pursuit of doing that thing, don't get frustrated by how hard it is. And I need to take my own advice too. It's like, you know, I wish my squat was heavier, but it's like, heavy squats are cool. How do I get there? It's hard. You know, it's like, so it's cool because it's hard, you know? So keep that in mind in your pursuit. Funniest reaction a person's ever had when they find out. Oh my God. Yeah. Well, I'm almost over posting any bends because of all the comedians online. Mostly when you're bending wrenches and stuff like that. There was an instance where I had to like tighten something, and I did use a bent wrench not that long ago. So yeah. But yeah, people don't understand that. They're in awe like the first time you bend a 60D, and then everything else, they're just like, why are you wasting hardware? Who's someone you'd like to see on the show? There's a few guys out there that I'd like to have, but I don't know if it's gonna happen. And there's a bunch of guys I'd like to have back on. Wigren, Don, Rogowski. I'd like to actually sit down with Eric Milfeld. I did a written one with him, but I'd like to sit down and chat with him for sure. But we'll see. We'll see how it goes. Tips and advice for beginner benders. Go slow as you can stand it, but also, I mean, you know, try not to get hurt. That's it. We know you're going to be wrapping up a red nail or a Jurito 8.8 and triples and trying it. Most people know where to find me. I'm Cody C518 on Instagram, Beyond the Bend Podcast on Instagram. Any events, brands, or gear you want to shout out? Okay, Jurito, go there, order the bolts, smash and pass, cool shirts, cool people, go there. David Horn, World of Grip, go there, check out his feet page, but make sure you order stock from him. I mean, he'll sometimes accept your own stock, but he does that stuff like out of his love of this. So make sure you're ordering from him. And, you know, like these are all people that are in the community. I'm not sure if Devin is doing his drill rod stuff anymore because he's moving. Ben Sport Canada, clearly, if you're in Edmonton and you want to go list some historic stones, hit up Dave Nisbet, Caveman Dave Man. What else is there for bending stuff? GBI, Grip Bend Italia. It seems like stuff is shipping pretty quickly internationally, so it might be a time to jump on that. I don't really know of too much other stuff. I've kind of just stick with Jurito and David Horn for the most part these days. And oh yeah, Anton's Kirkhart roster is very cool. And I use Stockhoffs to get horseshoes. They're really good and really fast for me on the East Coast. I think they have one in New Jersey and one in Kentucky, maybe something out west too. But Stockhoffs is really good for horseshoes. And so thanks everybody for listening. Thanks for everybody for participating and all the stuff that we've done. Might do some more t-shirts coming up soon, I was thinking. I don't know, just busy. And shout out to the Bending crew of 2020. Devin Hoover, Josh Goldthorpe, Dan Trang, Dave Nisbet. They were like my lifting crew, you know, it's like, or something. It was, I recommend that if you're a new bender, find out who's like getting into it at the same time as you, which seems to be less now that the pandemic's over or whatever. But having that group of peers that we were almost like bending together day to day was super helpful. And those guys are great. And I imagine we'll stay in touch for a long time. And hopefully we can meet up in person one day. and yeah, that's it. I will talk to everybody soon. Thanks for the tribute videos to Bud. Keep them coming and we'll get them posted. All right, be well. Thank you.